And sometimes when we think the enemy has won, that's when the breakthrough comes, because God shows himself faithful. I got an email, and I've got to share this, and that's this. Over in Israel, they have this Iron Dome. And the reason they call it the Iron Dome, because missiles are continuously coming from Gaza to try to destroy Israel. So what you're hearing on the news on the CBC is not going to be something I'm sharing with you. So I wanted to share. But anyways, there was a young man who was a soldier involved in shooting down these missiles. He couldn't give any secrets because it's a secret with them and how they do it. It's a miracle, honest, the way that God has even allowed this protection. And he said one day a missile was coming for Tel Aviv and probably for one of the towers. They shot up one missile, an anti-missile. It missed. They did the second one. It missed. And then they sent up the third one and they missed again. He said it's never happened as long as he's been working. And he said, and so they alerted all the emergency people, but tried to say, okay, even if they shoot it, they were going to do the fourth missile, that it would still explode over Tel Aviv and it would do a lot of damage. And he said that their science is very, 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 technical and very accurate. They take in all the aerodynamics of where they're shooting, the wind, the atmospheric pressure, the humidity, everything. I mean, it's a computerized thing. And then so they endeavored to send the fourth missile, and something very strange happened. A wind that wasn't there all of a sudden was there. It took the missile and drove it right out to the sea where it could do no damage. And the wind was gone. But what he says is this. No small wind would blow a missile away, right? I mean, if you're shooting a bullet, it's going to go pretty straight. It'd take a pretty strong wind to move that missile. And the young man said, I didn't believe in God. He says, no, I really believe in God. And for the first time, he put his prayer shawl off, and he said, I did my first Shabbat, that's the Sabbath. And it was the best one I ever had. So God is moving in Israel, even if we can't see it. They're not going to report what sort of is happening over there because they want to report the bad news. But I know God is doing some good work over there. So keep praying for the peace of Israel and for Jerusalem, because they're trying to destroy Israel. The enemy is trying to. But I tell you what. If you've read the Revelation, you've read the last chapter, you know who's going to win. God's going to be the winner in the end. And in the meantime, we're just going to believe that God is going to even use these hard times to bring many to know Christ the Savior. I want to share a few things, not to take away from James' testimony, but to add to it and confirm what God is saying to us. And so if you have your Bibles, I don't have the overhead like James has here. So I'm just going to rely on the good old Bible here. So I'm just going to direct your attention to a few scriptures here. And I believe that James gave us a message that's right on time. Amen? Amen. I know that it's one thing to have a message, but it's another thing to come up here to share it. So thank you, James, for doing that. I know God will bless you for it and for opening up your heart to us. If we go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, here Paul is writing to a young man who Paul had given charge to look after an assembly here. He was young. And he was really encouraging this young man, because he wasn't a youth pastor. He was a pastor of a larger assembly where there were older folks. And if you can imagine that many of these folks had, this was brand new. Christianity had just started. And as Paul was on his missionary journey, he had many churches developed in his travels. Some of them from a Jewish background, other Gentiles. So there was a real mixture, and traditions don't die easy. So there was real struggles in the church, and so Paul wrote to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 12, and says, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity." And so here's a message for our generation as well. And I read an interesting article called One Way from the Decision magazine. I don't even want to pronounce the writer's name because it's beyond my tongue to get around it. But he gave a quote, and he says, "The gospel of grace announces that we already possess everything we need in Christ. We are free to sacrificially love others horizontally because God has sacrificially loved us vertically." I'm going to repeat that. I thought, what a great statement. And he said, "The gospel of grace announces that we already possess everything we need in Christ. We are free to sacrificially love others horizontally because God has sacrificially loved us vertically." Fits in line with what James was saying to us. And we recognize this because in our own lives we've experienced this love. Then I'm going to jump back to the beginning of 1 Timothy and 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And he writes here, "The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith." And then he gives thanks to God for extending him mercy. And so in verse 14 he writes, "Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that comes from Christ Jesus." So it isn't the fact that somehow I have to go get love or even ask for it. I need to choose to love. If Christ is in me, love is in me. Because it says God is love. In a sense, it isn't God's character. It's his very being. And so if we say his characteristic is love, no, that's who he is. He created the whole world in love. He created the universe in love. It was sin that brought the degradation. And then I just thank the Lord for the young man that God has sent our way. We think of Adam, who is so passionate about the gospel and healing. He renewed something in us that I thank the Lord for. Because as Pentecostals, we always believed in having healing lines and believing for the sick, and we're kind of drifting away. Adam just renewed our faith to believe God heals. Amen? And it just reverberated in our hearts and our minds. And I'm so glad. You know what? Most of us would have been afraid what Adam does. He sees someone that has a need, and he's willing out in the street to stop and pray for them and believe for their healing. I believe we have young men that are showing us you can live by the Spirit of God, and even though you're afraid, you do it anyways because God is faithful to his word. When we think of these young men and we give encouragement, we're not there to put pride in their hearts, but to put courage in their hearts. Amen? The devil is quick enough to say, "Oh man, somebody's patted me on the back. Look what I've done now. No, no, no. Anything that we are able to do is because God's given it to us. And we're just only an instrument of His to fulfill what God has asked us to do. And also, we think we've just recently enlisted a young man from Bible school, Pastor Daniel Kendrick. I just believe God has enlisted him for our time. He's so new to you, and so you wouldn't really know him, but I'm getting to know him. And he truly is a man who's filled with the love of God in his heart. And so God is sending us young men to show that this generation desperately, desperately needs God to be seen in the lives of ordinary people. People aren't coming flocking to church. I said to my wife, just kind of kidding, as we were coming, there was so much traffic. Look at all the people coming to church. You drove in the parking lot and it was empty. People are not making their way to church, but we have an opportunity to go out to make the difference in their lives. And then I thank the Lord that God sent along Pastor John Knutson. Again, a young man just committed to serving God and his wonderful wife, Ella. They're not here with us this morning. They're at another place. I'm the only kind of senior pastor here this week, or this almost this month. But anyways, what I want to say, I want us as seniors, if you got white hair, pray for them. Encourage them and bless them. We're not always going to understand everything they say or do. That's not our business. It's not our job to critique. It's our job to get them to move on. That's what Paul was doing when he was writing to Timothy. Saying, you know what? There's going to be those that are going to criticize you. You're too young. You're doing the wrong thing. You don't know what you're doing. You know what? That's not our job. Our job is to say, you know what? Whatever God is directing you to do, be blessed and send them on their way. That's what Paul was so concerned about, because he wasn't able to be with Timothy. He was journeying and even ended up in jail in Rome. So we couldn't even be in touch with them. And they didn't have these little devices in those days. You know, you couldn't text or email anyone. They didn't have Facebook. So everything was written out and had to be carried. These messages had to be carried to them personally. Paul addresses Timothy in chapter 6 and verse 11 as a man of God and encourages him to pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. And he says in verse 12, chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. And it seems that he's even written it almost as a prayer, because in verse 16 it says, all honor and power to him, Christ, forever. Amen. So in our own hearts, we want to see what God can do if we just take off our masks and let God shine through us. And then I love the last encouragement or advice, final word that he gives in chapter 6, verse 20. And in the last part, he says, guard what God has entrusted to you. Man, have we been entrusted with something great, because the gospel is not temporary. It's eternal. It's eternal. What we affect here down here goes for all eternity. Every soul that is saved is going to be in heaven. Every soul that is lost is going to hell. I can't even imagine what it would be to be without God and to see people forever separated from God. Jesus tried to illustrated by a parable about one man being poor, one rich. The rich man went to hell, and he said, ask the poor man to even dip his finger in water and put it on his tongue. I'm not saying all the rich people go to hell, okay? Don't get it wrong. What I'm saying is, in this life, sometimes we may sense that we're different than others. But in the end, we're the winners because we're serving God. Joyce Meyer wrote a book entitled Love Revolution. And she says it was the book that was least bought because it challenges us to let Christ love through us. So I'm believing God has so much more for all of us. And so we're going to close with a song. Maybe Bill, you could come and we could have some songs and just allow the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts. It's not what we've set up here, but it's what the Spirit of God has spoken to your hearts about. That's really going to matter. Because His Spirit knows the deep things of our heart. And so I'm trusting that in a very precious and real way, God will begin to remove those things that maybe have hindered us from loving. Because God loves unconditionally. And so when we recognize that I can love the man and woman that's unlovely as much as someone that is really special to me. So let God do His work in your heart this morning. I was going to say, Pastor Bill. Logger Bill.
Well, we've heard the word. Now it's time to act upon it, right?